This is Smart Tech, episode 1712. Is Disney spying on your children? Hello, and welcome back to Smart Tech, the podcast that breaks all of your childhood tech bubbles, including the intentions of the Walt Disney Company. And I'm your host, Chuck Minear. You know, in the past, we've talked a lot about internet privacy and how you can protect yourself and your family and your friends online. In fact, I suppose I could do an entire podcast series on this subject. It seems like there's a new story every week. Now, the latest to be accused of nefarious online activity, and by the way, not for the first time, is the Walt Disney Company. If you would like, by the way, more information on today's subject or anything else technology, please check out our website, www.smarttech.tv, smarttech.tv. You'll find an archive of several years of podcasts with show notes. And we can answer a lot of your online questions, and we can also take your questions right on the website. So California resident Amanda Rushing filed a lawsuit on August 3rd in a United States District Court in San Francisco. And it stated, among other things, that children are especially vulnerable to online tracking and the resulting behavioral advertising, and that Disney never obtained verifiable parental consent to collect, use, or disclose her child's information. When we get suits out of San Francisco, I don't usually pay attention to them, but this one sounds a little interesting. Now, dozens of Disney's children's apps, in fact, 42 are actually named in the lawsuit. And it's alleged that they're tracking data and information illegally. They're doing things like monitoring the behavior of the child. You know, how do they answer things? How are they playing the game? Speed of answering, types of answering, which is pretty normal for games because they want to collect this activity to be able to improve the game. But they're also doing things allegedly like tracking where the kids go online, other sites they use, which is kind of the same thing, but it's like after they've used the game. So they've used this game. Where do they click right after? What type of, do they go to another app? Do they go to the web? Do they look up? Maybe there was an advertisement or something that was suggestive of a game or a toy. Did they go to that site? And they're also collecting things like the child's full name. There's some personal data it asks for and screen names that may be used for other sites or software. So there's a lot of information, and some of that is not good to let out generally. Now, there's legislation that addresses things like this. It's called the COPPA, C-O-P-P-A, or Child's Online Privacy Protection Act. And it has guidelines for children, especially for children under 13. And it talks about many things, but two in particular, that the type of data being collected needs to be clearly stated up front, that it needs to be let known at the beginning of the game, on the opening screens, what are they collecting, and it needs to clearly explain parental consent, what it is, and how to get it. The Federal Trade Commission website summarizes COPPA like this. This is a quote. COPPA imposes certain requirements on operators of websites or online services directed to children under 13 years of age and on operators of other websites or online services that have actual knowledge that they are collecting personal information online from a child under 13 years of age. The lawsuit claims that the apps have trackers installed on them, which can collect information such as geographical information or location, internet browsing history, personal information, which we've kind of talked about. But the disturbing part of this is that this information is then sold to third parties for advertising purposes. You got to assume that whenever your child is online or whenever you're online, that this information is being collected. You have to do that because it is. there's always somebody tracking what's going on online. Now, lots of times it's a generic tracking. It's like how many people go to this kind of website or that kind of website. That doesn't bother me so much. But when they track where I go and what I do, and are they capturing my passwords and things like that, you need to be really careful. And so if you've listened to any other episodes of Smart Tech, there are some guidelines that I've got for you. Number one, always, and I capitalize the word always, be watching what your child does online. Your child should not have free reign online. There should be, I recommend that every family have some kind of filtering system installed on their house if you're going to let your child use the internet without you standing over their shoulder. It doesn't stop everything, but it stops a lot of things. Sit with the child the first few times they use a new app. So if they have an iPad, let's say, and they're sitting down and using a new app, sit down with them, see what information they're asked for. And then when they're asked for something, explain to your child the type of information they can share and the type they cannot share. Now, of course, it depends on the age of the child. If the child's 1 year old, they're not going to understand that discussion. And there should be no personal information given. The other thing you can do is sit down the first time with them. And if it asks for registration or anything, you put it in as the parent or guardian. And then you can do things like use screen names that are always used for this game, or, you know, that don't compromise their other personal information. You can do all of that kind of stuff. So my suggestion is that you sit down and you play the game yourself. You see what they're asking for and decide whether it's appropriate for your child. Register the information yourself before you let the child use it, which I mentioned, and then realize, and this is so important, that every time you use the internet, you're risking some type of privacy. You just are. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't use the internet. You know, you realize that Google, when you get what I usually say is there's nothing free in this world, right? You've heard that before from your parents or whatever. There is nothing free on the internet. And so if you go to Google and you sign up for a free email account, which, by the way, I use Google, when you sign up with Google for a free account, they're collecting data in the background. And the question has always been, how specific is the data? They are scanning your emails. Now, whether they're reading them for specific information is, they say no. What they're doing is they're looking for common words used, themes in the emails, and that's how they direct advertising toward you. All right? So you have to realize that they're looking, if not at the context of your emails, they're looking for content or keywords so that they can direct certain things toward you. And then sometimes that's very useful. I mean, have you ever done that where you're sitting there, you're browsing a website, and all of a sudden an ad comes up for something that maybe you searched for? If you search for it on Amazon or something, it'll come up. The Amazon remembers those things and puts their ads up on other pages. But sometimes it'll be in emails that maybe somebody talked to you about traveling to Tahiti, and all of a sudden you're getting messages or ads come up on the screen asking you if you want to go to Tahiti, and these are the best prices, and these are hotels in Tahiti, and you're going, what the heck? You know, the only thing I did was converse with my friend on email about Tahiti. But depending on the internet service you're using, they scan and they go, I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt. We don't know what they're saying about Tahiti, but they use the word Tahiti in there. Let's by chance throw the word Tahiti up there. The most nefarious, now use that word twice in this podcast. Hope you're impressed. The nefarious activity would be that they actually read the context of your emails and know more specifically what you're talking about. This happens to adults. It will happen to children because they don't have the filters that we have. And if you've seen a lot of people on the internet, they don't have filters anyway. So if children have less of a filter than some of our adults, we are in real, real trouble. So you need to weigh the cost benefit. You know, what am I getting out of this for the information that I'm giving up on myself? All right. And this is harder and harder, but try to find apps that don't connect to the internet. There are some that you can get the game. It can go on the iPad. Everything that you need is on the iPad and that you can play that game. But they're less and less because these companies are finding out, if I keep them connected to my server, I can do things like charge more money when they get to a certain level, or I can collect this information and sell it and make more money. So those are harder and harder to find, but they're worth looking for. The smart tech mantra: do not put anything on the internet you are not okay with other people seeing. Now, that's not always possible. If you do your banking online, if you do register for governmental things or whatever online, then there is certain sensitive information that you do send over the internet. But you can look and see whether that information is secure. And the best way, when you're in a browser, up on the left side of the browser, it'll either say HTTPS before the internet address, or there'll be a little padlock somewhere on the screen, depending on which internet browser you use, where it's located. But you look for that padlock. And if you see something that says HTTPS, but no padlock where you should see a padlock, then beware, because they're scamming your browser and they're fooling it into thinking it's a secure site. If it's secure, that little lock will appear. Now, you can't tell that, though, in a child's app. Apps are specifically made to work the way the company wants them to work. And so they'll show you things or not show you things by the whim of the programmer. Whereas if they're using a browser to access it, like Safari, Internet Explorer, Firefox, those type of browsers, their standards for those browsers for sites that are locked. And so therefore they have to conform to those rules if they're going to show that lock on the screen. So you can be a little more assured of your privacy on a browser that you trust than you can on an app, because the app doesn't have to follow those same rules. They write their own rules because they write the app. So if it's not fully encrypted and you're not sure of it, do not put information on the internet you don't want other people to see, because eventually it could come out. And remember that apps or websites or information that you travel to on the internet, the record of your traveling, the breadcrumbs leading to those places are always, always there forever and ever. And you only need a smart enough person and a clever enough person to overcome the encryptions to be able to find that information. Luckily, if you take it, it's kind of like the people who, you know, take the extra time at their home to secure things with, you know, double-sided deadbolts and maybe an alarm system. And they put these blocks in the, maybe cameras, they put these blocks in the way of a thief. And the thief goes down the street and they go, okay, that house is well lit. It's got cameras out front. I can see them. I'm going to go next door where they've got a lot of bushes in front. They have no lights on and, you know, it doesn't seem to be an alarm. They're going to hit the easiest target. So what you do online is you try to make yourself not an easy target. But knowing, as we all know, if somebody really wants to break into your house, they'll break into your house. They'll figure out a way to do it. You just make it difficult. If somebody really wants information online about you, they'll get it. So be careful what you put online. As I said at the beginning, there's more information on this at www.smarttech.tv. SMARTTECH.TV. In the show notes, I will put a complete list of the 42 apps that are tracking data. And they haven't decided whether that's illegal or not, but you should know that they're tracking that data. That does not mean you shouldn't use Disney apps. That doesn't mean that Disney is more nefarious, third time in the podcast, or collecting more information than other apps. It means they have deep pockets. And so the people that filed the lawsuit, and they have 42 apps they're listing. So the people who filed the lawsuit, of course, figured it'd be easier to get money out of Disney than out of some, you know, loan developer who's got one app that's collecting some data on the side that no one uses. So it's important to know that that doesn't mean, you know, I'm not saying don't use Disney apps. What I am saying is go on the Disney app with your child, look at what they're asking, make sure you answer questions. Sometimes they ask questions right at the beginning, the first time you use the app. Go through and answer those questions yourself so that the child doesn't have to do that. And then watch your child. You need, don't just use the internet as a babysitter, please. You know, it's kind of like going into the phone book. Remember phone books? They were books with everybody's phone number in them. I don't know if you all know what they are anymore. But let's say you go into a phone book, an old time phone book. You flip through the pages, you close your eyes, and you randomly point at somebody. You call them up and say, hey, would you come babysit my kid? I don't know who you are, but I found your name in the phone book, in the white pages. You know, I like the way your name reads. And so will you come babysit my kid without knowing anything about him? You don't do that kind of thing. And you don't do that thing with that type of thing with the internet, because you know that there are all kinds of people on the internet. It's like a big phone book of people. Some are good, some are bad. Some are going to hurt your child, some are going to really love your child. So you've got to do the homework yourself. There's no way around it. So go to our website, smarttech.tv, and look at the list of apps and become informed. And if there's other information you want to know about technology, we've got it all there. So one more time, our website, www.smarttech.tv. You can go on there and like our Facebook page. That's where we get most of our interaction, is our Facebook page. So on the right-hand side, big Facebook button, click on it and you can join. You can also follow our Twitter feed, and we have some other social media buttons there. You can like our page, and you can also, under each episode, you can like and share the episode. So we would really appreciate it, because that's the way the word gets out about smart tech and about our subjects. Go on to the website, click on the Facebook link or the Twitter link, send a little message, and let your friends know about our podcast. It's free, and we're doing this as a public service. We'd really like to help people, normal people, everyday people, understand the world of technology. Thanks for joining us this time, and until next time, this is your host, Chuck Minear. I think I'm going to Disneyland? No, I can't afford it. Hoping that this episode has made you just a little bit smarter about tech.